Well, this was just going to be a reading tonight, but I've been thinking about it this week, and so I have a little bit to say, really just brief. What just struck me is when I looked at this account this year is all this revelation from God. This revelation from God, message from God, communicating from God about the birth of His Son. Revealing His Son, revealing His birth, revealing His person, revealing and really preparing to reveal His work. Angels, visions, men witnessing what they've seen and heard, prophets, heavenly stars, and signs, Gentile, wise men. As I was reading and as I was organizing the accounts, I like to write titles for the bulletin. If you compare the past years, I try to bring out something that stands out or something that stands out to me is emphasized in that account, maybe in distinction to another account. And something I might like to, and usually in the past, as I was preparing a message, it was something related to the message, and I wasn't planning to do that this year. Like last year, I did the Son announced, the Savior conceived, the Messiah birthed, the consolation embodied, the Sovereign come. That was the idea. Well, this time I wasn't going to preach, as I said. I just tried to title it differently than the past. And something, as I titled it, I saw developed this theme of revelation from God. The angelic announcement to Mary. The vision of an explanation to Joseph. Shepherds who relate, make known the message. Prophets who see and then proclaim Him. Magi who seek Him, find Him, and worship Him. And so that just sort of naturally developed and has been on my mind, this week a little bit. Isn't it interesting how God has used every conceivable way to communicate the gospel of His Son? Every method of communication to punctuate the coming of His Son. And so I couldn't help but think about it a little bit and ponder it. And what sort of just touched me was the wonder of God's love. To communicate the Christ to us. To communicate His love in so many ways, as it were. Angels, shepherds, men, glory, stars, Gentiles, prophets, dreams, signs, fulfillment after fulfillment. On and on. Like the husband who wrote, he's expressing His love, revealing His love to us. In a sense, it's like the husband who wrote a love letter every day for 40 years. And some of us don't write one a year. Or Elizabeth Barrett Browning's famous poem where she says, "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways." Well, God uses every form of communication, in a sense, to tell us that He loves us. Every form of communication and revelation to tell us about His Son. And He does it repeatedly. And at the birth of Christ, God spoke in many ways, many forms of revelation. One was the angel Gabriel announcing to Mary the birth. Angels, are messengers, means messengers, could be translated messengers, angelos, it's a transliteration of the word. Sometimes it's messengers, so sometimes it does refer to men, but it usually refers to a divine being. And there are rankings in the angelic world. Cherubim, Gabriel here was a cherubim. They're the highest ranking, it seems. They stand in the presence of God. Gabriel is one of the cherubim, one of the highest rankings, and he seems to be the highest of the highest ranking. Maybe along there with Michael in the Old Testament and in Daniel. When God comforts Daniel, he sends Gabriel. When he wants to announce information and give Daniel understanding, he sends Gabriel. Daniel 8:16, I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai who called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. Gabriel, the highest ranking cherubim, the highest messenger, is sent to Mary to reveal and announce the birth of the Messiah. And he witnesses of the most astounding things about the Christ child. Gives us just this amazing understanding of him. And frankly, the virgin birth is minor in comparison to who this child is. He's the Savior. He's the awaited King, the Messiah. He's the Holy One. He's the Son of God. Then you have the Matthew account, another revelation. This time an angel as well, an angel that comes in a vision or a dream. It was one of the Old Testament dream visions. And here it's a vision of explanation. The angel, the messenger again. We're not told if it's Gabriel. We don't know if it's Gabriel. He doesn't come in person. He comes in a vision or a dream. And it does remind us of the Old Testament, God communicating in dreams and visions. And the angel in this vision tells Joseph to marry Mary and take this child as his own, adopt this child. He's not his. He's the product of the Holy Spirit. He's, in fact, Emmanuel, God with us. And he'll be named Jesus because Jehovah will save his people from their sins. Then in his birth, one of the angels, then at his birth there, Chris read tonight, after Caesar called for the census, and Mary and Joseph had to travel to Bethlehem to be counted in the census, and when he's born, an angel appears to shepherds, and they were guarding their sheep at night in Bethlehem. And not only did the angel appear, the glory of God shone around. The glory of God. And we're not to think probably of anything else but that Old Testament glory of God. God was present there. And the angel was making sense of it. And the angel says, do not be afraid. That's what the angels always say. Because you would be. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then a multitude of heavenly hosts appear as well. And they spread across the night sky, and they probably lit it up like it was noon. And they're praising God, and they're saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So God uses these obscure men, these shepherds. They go. They go with this message. They find Mary. They find the baby in a manger, and they told what they saw. They relate the message they heard. They repeat the good news about this child. And they leave when they are finished. They leave in awe and wonder and praise for what has been revealed to them. And you have the prophet Simeon and the prophetess Anna. Jesus has been brought into the temple to carry out the requirements of law. And mind you, that is a communication in itself. That he is fulfilling the law. Galatians says he was born under the law for us. He has to fulfill the law for us. And he did. Even through his parents' obedience. But as he is there in the temple, Simeon sees him. This prophet of God was told that he wouldn't die until he'd seen the Christ. And he sees him and he takes him in his arms and the marvelous wonder that must have filled his heart, the joy. And he prophesies about the child. He's the consolation of Israel. That's just a wonderful description. Promise of the Comforter to come for Israel. And he's come. He's come. He's the glory of Israel, he says. And he's the light of revelation of the Gentiles. And Anna, at that moment, she enters him. And she identifies him as the Redeemer. There was a remnant. They are part of that remnant that were waiting for the Messiah. And they're told these things. It's revealed to them. Then the Magi, Gentile wise men, philosophers, astrologers, stargazers, probably under Daniel, when Daniel was taken captive, they heard the stories, they heard the prophecies of the coming king who would be the morning star. And God shines what I believe probably was his Shekinah glory, his Shekinah light. At least this is some mysterious revelation. And they who knew the stars and knew the fixed stars, this was something different. And they're prompted somehow, certainly by the Spirit, to follow that star. And they seek and they find him and they worship him. And there's a teaser there that Christ was born for the Gentiles, not just the Jews. Well, all this revelation, all this witness, yet in so many ways, he was just silent to the world. Silent to the great emperor Caesar Augustus and Quirinius, however that's pronounced. Silent to the great kings, hated by Herod, threatened. His kingship was threatened by this King Christ. Silent to the masses. Revealed to very few, but oh, the revelation to those few. Revealed to obscure poor, quietly revealed, but in volumes, loud and many, to those who chose, to those to whom he chose to reveal it, and to those who see it by his grace and hear it. Messages of love. Messages of salvation in his Son. Many. Too many to ignore. And of course, God had been communicating for a long time in various ways. But even of all the Old Testament revelation, even of all the messages and revelation at his birth, still I think the greatest and the clearest was his Son. And the life of his Son and the work of his Son, the Son himself. Hebrews 1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers and the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Jesus himself, his person, his message, his life, his suffering, his death, his resurrection. He was the greatest message of love, the loudest, the clearest. And all the witnesses vouched for him. All the forms of revelation tell us how much God wants to confirm the truth of our salvation in him. He wants to tell us he loves us, that he came to save us, that he's the Savior, that he's the promised King, that he's the Son of God, that he's God with us, that he's humble, the humble Savior, that he's man, that he's sinless, that he's giving us his life and the cross. And the message of his life and the cross, and perhaps in some ways the greatest message of all was the cross. But that's why he was born. He was born to die in our place. A man, a sinless man, to suffer our punishment. But that's not the message of gloom, is it, for us? That's the message of life and love. Where he rose, and when he rose, it was the last great sign, the resurrection sign, the last great revelation, the last great announcement of victory over death. So let us believe in him who came to save us. Let us rejoice in his love and return it. And let us worship and give him glory and give him thanks. And let us live for him. Let's pray. Father, how rich and what a wonderful blessing that you have revealed your Son to us. Still a mystery to the world, but you have revealed him to those whom you've chosen. It's all you're doing. It's all because of your grace. All because of your love for us, and because you want to exalt your Son. We thank you for Jesus Christ. Let our hearts rejoice and believe this year and always. In Jesus' name, amen.